Oh, Holy God, here we are. Here we are to worship. Here we are ready to bow down in praise. Here we are to acknowledge that you are our God. Bless us, O God, as we praise and worship the congregation this morning. Open our eyes that we may see. Open our hearts that we may regain the love that we have lost. In the name of Jesus we pray. We can all take out our calendars for August, and they came with your hymn of praise books. And if you can just turn the page at confession of sin and assurance of pardon. I will be reading and praying those portions that says the letter L for leader, and you will be letter C, congregation. Merciful God, in your gracious presence, we confess our sin and the sin of this world. Our greed lays waste the land and pollutes the oceans. The fears and the jealousies that we harbor set neighbor against neighbor and nation against nation. Let us now take a few moments of silence and remember the times that we have not been God's peace in the world. The old life has gone. A new life has begun. Since we are reconciled to God in Christ, let us share the sign of peace with one another. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And also with you. Let us offer each other a sign of peace. The reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. It is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place and it is getting late. Send the crowd away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There is no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed them, and broke the loaves apart and gave them to his disciples. And then the disciples gave them to the crowds. And the story says that everyone ate until they were full. And they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. And about 5,000 men and women and children had eaten. And this, sisters and brothers, is God's word for us today. Thank you. What we've just read is a remarkable story. It is one of the few stories that are found in all of the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there are very few like that. And the context is that Jesus had just heard about his cousin. Do we know who is Jesus' cousin?
John
the Baptist. John the Baptist is in prison. It's like the terrorists of that time. The Romans put him in, jailed him in a dungeon, because they think that John was leading the people, the Jewish people, to rebellion against the government of Rome. So after he hears this, he obviously becomes very sad, and he goes alone in a boat to be far away from the people for a while. The people come out of the hills and follow him, hearing that there is this teacher who is traveling through the countryside. And they've heard stories about him. At the end of the day of following him and listening to his teaching, they become hungry. And the disciples had only packed what would be in their country maybe a peasant's lunch, bread and fish. Very close to the Lake of Galilee. That wasn't doable for them to just leave and go to the town to buy some food. Some commentators are saying that many of these people are poor and probably didn't have money to buy food anyway. So they had to stay. The wandering prophet called Jesus of Nazareth was for many their last hope. They were weak. They were diminished by the structures. They didn't have what we have today by way of social assistance. Food and hunger were very common among the people. So Jesus told them, the disciples, go ahead and feed them. And you remember the reaction. They started to grumble about this. They said, we only have these 3 loaves and fishes, almost like saying, it's not even enough for all of us here among the friends. Notice that the response was to worry about how little they had to offer. There's so many people out there, and we have so little by way of resources. Jesus said, share whatever it is, however little it is, share it, and then let's see what will happen. So one way that we can look at it is to ask ourselves, if there were 2 worlds, and one world was called scarcity, and the other world was called abundance, where in our head do we live? The people who live in scarcity will talk like the disciples. We have very little. We don't have enough. You cannot feed them all. We cannot, in today's society, in Ontario, the word should be, we cannot anymore feed the people, so we have to close the food bank. And there's one food bank here in Leslieville that's closing down. Or you hear words like, there is no more money in the budget to care for seniors. This is the same kind of talk that the apostles were saying, but Jesus was coming from that field, from a place totally different. It is a life that is based on the promise, I came so that you may have life, life in abundance, abundant life. Share what you have and see what happens. Watch how God can multiply whatever is little and make it into many. So it is true. What they were saying was true. You cannot feed everyone. It is true. There will always be suffering. You cannot make it go away. You cannot end it just by wishing. But Jesus certainly did not feed all the people in the world more than we even tried. But that is not a reason for telling the people, especially his friends, his followers, to not do anything. We have no excuse for letting these people go hungry tonight without doing something about it. So there's this old story about the starfish on the beach. You all know what starfish are? How would you describe it? Something that a fish that looks like a star, right? Walking on the beach after a storm, and many of the starfish had just been washed on the seashore, on the sand. And what he was doing was he was going to pick one of them, and then throw it back into the ocean, pick another one, and throw it up, and pick another one, and throw it up. And another guy sees it and says, "What are you doing? Whatever you're doing, it's not making a difference." So he picks another one. Made a difference from that one. The starfish in the ocean. What is the great miracle in this story? It's the miracle that Jesus was able to feed the 5,000. It's the miracle that he was able to change loaves and fishes and make them into an abundant meal. Or is it that he is able to change the hearts of people, including those that followed him closely, and teach them how to share? What is the miracle? For Jesus to do all of the work, for Jesus to change our hearts, Jesus can't do it alone. Jesus needs us. So when we ask the question, does Queenie's, for instance, have enough money to change this community? The answer is no. Do we have enough people to spread the word of the gospel? No. But we have a promise. A promise of abundance that we can stand on. A promise that says that we only need to do what we can, and we will see God's miracle multiply our resources. And what do we say? God is good. God will take care of us all the time. God's provision is ours as we continue to believe, as we continue to live with God. And that is what I'd like to share as a miracle. Jesus renews. Jesus says, this is not a small thing. And today it is not a small thing. You read in the paper this word, and you may read it from. I'd like to tell you what that word is about. And it's an important word for us as we have the good food market on the East Lawn. The word is called food insecurity. Have you heard that? Food insecurity. It's a big issue in the city of Toronto. There are places around the city where even if you have money, you cannot buy the food that you need. Maybe you're going to be buying some canned goods. They're called food deserts around the city of Toronto. And I wonder if it's for yourselves how far you need to walk. And some of you may need to take a streetcar to buy food, am I correct? Food is not readily accessible in this city. So it becomes more expensive for somebody looking for fresh vegetables, for instance. Because it's very few of these places sell fresh. And it's also very difficult because when they sell you something, they try to sell you as much. More than perhaps you need if you and most of us here are living alone. So the service that the Good Food Market here is that when you come to this market, you can buy as little as you want. So if you want it, just one piece of carrot, then you can just buy one piece. You don't need to buy an entire bag. And it's the same for just about everything else. And as you do that, you're also helping the farmers of Ontario, from whom, some of whom are also losing money against the big-time competition multiplying the loaves and fishes right here in our community in Lesbos. So to say we have nothing here but 5 loaves and fishes is to live in a world or in a mindset of scarcity. We have very little. The person who lives in the mindset of abundance will say, thank you God that we have 5 loaves and fishes. The little that I have, O God, bless it and multiply it. The miracle continues today. When a college graduate gives up a high-paying job in the city in order to teach disadvantaged kids in Latin America or Cuba or Africa, God's miracles continue in that land. When a parent puts down a career in the academy or maybe in the corporate world to take care of a child with special needs, that is God working. The same kind of miracle all over again. When a student stands up against bullies in defense of another student, and again that is common in many public schools here in Toronto, then what we see is the God of compassion miraculously revealed once again. The text of the Gospel says that when Jesus saw the girls that were hungry, he had compassion on them. So this is one image of our God. Our God is a compassionate God. And when a community of faith, a church, a congregation makes a promise that no one who comes through those doors will ever have to go home unfed by the Word of God that is being preached in this church, we continue the tradition that Jesus has done to feed the multitudes. Nobody who comes to Queen East will be turned away hungry. God is still at work here performing God's miracles. The real miracle is that the stories that we are sharing with you continues as we speak, and those stories of multiplying blessings, multiplying loaves and fishes continues to live in people like you and people like me. God still cares very deeply and very passionately for the vulnerable, the poor, the immigrants who are new to this city, and those who go hungry. And make no mistake about it, there are many children. I don't know the numbers now. But Canada is a rich country, but we have numbers to say that there are thousands of children in this country who go to bed at night hungry. God continues to use you and me. And so perhaps I suggest that we take a moment this week on a civic holiday to notice how God is working in society. How God is compassionate and continues to multiply loaves and fishes. And when you share God's love through your love with everybody that you meet on the street, especially those who are in deep need, then that, my friends, is a miracle. Amen. Let us pray. God of generous provision, we are grateful for the many ways that you take care of us. You provide for the needs of our people in bread and water. You nourish and sustain us, and we listen to you, and we encounter delight, and when we come to you, we live most fully. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sometimes, oh God, life can be very dry and very weary. In places that are torn by war, where the earth has been ravaged, where hospitals and homes and cornerstones have been reduced to rubble, and life is destroyed and reborn, God in your mercy. Sometimes when we are lost and unable to find a place that we can call home, when we are sad, when we are weighed down with so many problems of body and mind and spirit, oh God, provide water and bread and fish, enough to sustain us for a day, even enough to revive us once again for this long journey of life. God God is your mercy. Sometimes we enjoy forgiveness that is given to us and received by us. Sometimes our own hearts are enlarged by your vision. Sometimes we find ourselves welcome. Oh God, we thank you for all of these times. Be patient with us. Make us patient with one another. Make us patient with ourselves. And do your work within us and among us until our lives and everything around us becomes one with you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so now, sisters and brothers, children of God, hear our words that of prayer that Jesus left us. For some of you who may not know what the Lord's Prayer is, or from this referred to as the Our Father, there is a text. If you turn to page 577, you will see the text of the Lord's Prayer. Thank you.